Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following sermon was given by Father Ryan Jones on December 25th, 2016, Christmas Day, the Feast of the Nativity.
Have you ever noticed how prominent a role the shepherds play in the telling of Jesus' birth? In the Gospel of Luke, we're given 6 verses explaining the context of Jesus' birth. 1 measly verse about the actual details of the birth of Jesus, and then Luke devotes 13 verses to the story of some random, nameless shepherds. It leaves me wondering, what's the significance of these shepherds? And why does Luke think they warrant so much attention? To be honest, personally, I wish we had a few more details about the actual event of the birth. I mean, it sounds pretty crazy to give birth in a stable, right? How did that even work? I want to know the usual stuff that we want to know about pregnancies and births and all that. Like, was the labor difficult? How long was it? How big was the baby when he was born? How many pounds? How many ounces? Do you look more like his mom or like his dad? There's a trick question in there somewhere. The focus of birth stories is nearly always about the mother and the child. In fact, a lot of the times, the father barely makes an appearance in the story, right? But here we are in Luke with 2/3 of the details about the story of Jesus' birth being focused on some random, stinky, nameless shepherds. Now, I'm not criticizing Luke. He's just telling the story he was given. He's just writing as the Holy Spirit led him. Apparently, the shepherds are an important part of the story, which gets me to my real question. Why did God include these no-name shepherds so prominently in the story of the birth of his son? Why did he send angels uniquely and especially to these seemingly insignificant people to give them the announcement about the birth of his son? That's the question. If you were going to announce something important, say the most earth-shattering news of all time, wouldn't it make more sense to entrust this news to someone of influence? Shepherds aren't exactly at the top of the heap when it comes to power and influence. In fact, they're near the bottom. In the ancient Near East, they were seen as low class. They were seen as unsophisticated, uneducated folks. Untrusted in many cases. It's not that there weren't other options for God. Luke mentions people in the passage by name that would have seemed more natural if you really wanted to get the word out. There's Emperor Augustus, you know, reigning over that little empire of 60 million people. Or if you wanted a more local option, there's the governor of the region, Quirinius, named right there in the passage. Or what about Herod, the local ruler? And I'm not even mentioning the people that we would assume should know first. The high priest, perhaps, you know? Some Pharisees or some Sadducees or somebody, or at least the local rabbi. But no. God entrusts his most precious news to seemingly insignificant, nameless people. People who are mostly minding their own business, and of whom nothing extraordinary can be said. People whose names are not even worth mentioning. These are the people that God shares his biggest news with. And so it turns out that the subplot in the Christmas story as told by Luke is really the major headline of the whole scriptures. You could summarize it like this. Ordinary people invited to share in God's glory purely as an act of God's generosity. Let me say that again. Ordinary people invited to share in God's glory purely as an act of God's generosity. Again, we're talking about the most significant moment in human history. This is the birth of the Son of God. This is God, the eternal, magnificent, transcendent God, taking on human flesh, appearing amongst us. And it's the cameo of the anonymous shepherds that grabs Luke's attention. Ordinary people invited to share in God's glory purely as an act of God's generosity. But we would be fools to think that this focus on the shepherds is an end in itself. Clearly, it's not. The shepherds have no illusions about this, and neither does Luke. Instead, the inclusion of these anonymous shepherds merely deepens our vision of the glory of God. God's glory is so glorious and so good that it has to be shared. God's joy is so deep and so lavish that it cannot be contained to a small stable. It must be allowed to explode in an angelic concert on the hills around Bethlehem. And the most startling part of God's glory, is not the sound and light show that he puts on for the shepherds. It's his humility and his love for those the world considers small and inconsequential. It's his inclusion of the anonymous shepherds. Jesus' birth is good news, not merely to the rich and to the powerful, but for the lowly, the poor, the anonymous, and the seemingly insignificant. In the words of Luke, it's good news for all people. All people. God's glory is paradoxically found in his self-revelation to us in the form of a vulnerable infant. He comes to us dependent, needing diapers changed, needing to be fed. And ultimately, his glory is seen in a shameful death on a cross, allowing himself to be rejected and betrayed by the very world that he created. And in the end, all we can do is worship. Everything we might expect of an all-powerful God is turned upside down and made to look pale compared to the real thing that we encounter in Christ. And so we thank God for the anonymous shepherds. Their story is our story. Here we are on Christmas Day, a little more than 2 millennia later. We're not a terribly large group this morning. We don't all know each other's names even, do we? As far as I know, none of you are terribly famous or consequential in the eyes of the world. But God has decided, purely by his generosity, to reveal himself to us, to you, to me. And now, like the shepherds, we must proclaim his startling and paradoxical glory to others. Listen to these words from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Completely different context, but it is so precisely spot on. For we do not proclaim ourselves, Paul says. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Today, on this Christmas day, may we be like those anonymous shepherds. May we see Jesus in his tender vulnerability. And may we proclaim him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the light of the world and the Savior and the Messiah and the deepest longing of every heart. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just take a moment. Let's just think about this for a moment. Almighty God, we're astounded at your glory and your power, and maybe even more astounded at your vulnerability, that you would come and choose to be part of our world this creation that you created, that you would come in vulnerability of an infant, that you would choose to reveal yourself to people that seem inconsequential to most others, that you would reveal yourself to us. Thank you for the incredible mystery of the incarnation. May we be faithful, like those shepherds, to go and see and then to tell. And may your glory increase evermore until it fills all the earth. Fill this place. Fill San Francisco. Fill our lives. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Church podcast. You can check us out online at eucharistsf.org or come join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.